Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and I thank you for joining us today as we continue through our study of the New Testament in 2016. We hope that you've been up to date with the study, but remember, if you have not, you missed an episode or two, don't forget you can go to the on-demand section there, find the Mornings for the Master tab on it, click it, and you'll find the opportunity to find those chapters that you've missed. Listen to those, catch back up, and hopefully by the end of 2016, we will have completed a study through the New Testament together. Before we get started, though, we like to always remind you of those events that are going on in the Brotherhood that we've been made aware of. And we have the Summer Youth Series of Northeast Texas continuing tonight. Tonight is going to be actually in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. The word, as we reclaim heaven's vocabulary, is repentance. Then we look forward to next week, where it's going to be over at Carriage Oaks, Bossier City, Louisiana area, and dealing with the word pastor or elder. You're also invited to mark your calendars for an event that is going on in the Dallas Metroplex area, a little further out west. It is the 2016 North Texas Family Summer Series. And they will also be having their next session, which will be July the 21st. And the overall theme is Why I Love Being a Christian. Well, the 21st is I Love Having Peace and Security, and Darren Schroeder is going to be dealing with that at the Godly Church of Christ. The 28th, I Love Worshiping God, Ross Hafner will be speaking at the Highland Church of Christ. And they have three others that will continue, and as those dates approach, we'll give you more information. But if you would like to give them a call, get a copy of the flyer, give them a call at 940-329-0882. Then you're also invited over to Camp Arklatex for a singing school. This will be July the 31st through August the 5th. We're going to have several teachers out there, Andy Baker, Myron Bruce, and Benjamin Bruce, and also Christy Huntsman will be dealing with the young ladies. You can register online at camparklatex.org for session 3. It's for ages 10 and up. If you'd like more information, just give Doyle Bruce a call at 817-798-6557. Also, beginning on the 31st, the church that meets in Kinder, Louisiana, is having their summer gospel meeting. It'll kick off July the 31st, go through August the 3rd, and they're having James Eves, who is the preacher for the Gonzales Church of Christ there in Gonzales, Louisiana. He's coming and holding this meeting. It says, join us as we dig deep into the simple truth of God's Word. Service times will be Sunday at 9:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., and then Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you want more information, you can give them a call at 337-789-5288. And then go ahead and mark your calendars out for August the 7th through August the 11th. As you're invited to a gospel meeting at the Oak Grove Church of Christ, and the God we serve is the theme, and we're going to have Mike Vestal, who's going to be holding this gospel meeting. So, Sunday morning for the Bible class is a shepherd. This is the God we serve. Sunday during the worship, the God we serve is a king. And then Sunday evening, the God we serve went to the cross. Monday night, beginning at 7 p.m., the God we serve is not dead. Tuesday is a God we should know, and Wednesday is a holy judge. Things will conclude. Thursday evening is the Great Father. And so those be 7 p.m. weeknights. If you want more information, give them a call, 903-285-1756, and David would be glad to share that information with you. Well, that's all we have on the bulletin board this morning. Maybe there's an event that you're aware of that we have not been made aware of. Do us a favor. Shoot us an email with that information at mornings@tgrn.org, mornings@tgrn.org, We'll do our very best to make sure that that'll get out on the air. Well, before we get our started this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to take just a brief break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Call back the Savior.
Good morning and welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Again, I'm Richard Rutledge and I thank you for joining us today as we continue our study through the New Testament. Today we're on 1 Corinthians chapter 8, one of the relatively short chapters of this epistle, as we have 13 verses that we're going to be looking at this morning. As we do so, we're going to sort of break it up into basically three sections. We'll notice these first three verses as the dangers with liberty. Then we'll look at verses 4 through verse number 7. Some are not aware of these liberties. And then verses 8 through the end of the chapter, righteousness, or the right attitude, rather, in liberties. And so let's notice a few of these things this morning as we consider our text. Let's notice those first three verses. Now, concerning the things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, and he knows nothing yet, as he ought to know, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. Let's notice what he deals with as first. He says, now concerning. It indicates that he's dealing with or referencing back even to a question that they had asked in their letter. He now addresses this thing, now concerning things that are offered to idols, things that were either sacrificed to idols. So the idea that maybe there are the burnt offerings, then there are the heave or the wave offerings at times that would be just passed over for the idol. It's the thing that's not consumed. And so there's all of this meat. And now what's to be done with it? He said, how are we going to address this? But he says now that, it could be the fact that it was something that was eaten in a person's home, eaten in the marketplace, even eaten at a feast offered to the idol. We'll look at some of those examples even here later. But he says, we know that we all have knowledge. In other words, the congregation there should, and most would, have an understanding, this simple knowledge, that we're talking about something that is meaningless as far as the idol's concerned. He is something of meaningless value. But, he says, knowledge puffs up. It tends to give people pride, arrogance in their way. Like, I know this to be the fact, and I know better, and so I'm going to do it regardless if it hair lips the governor. And so he's going to do it. But love, in other words, edifies. It's an interesting contrast that he builds between the two. Love, or knowledge, puffs up, sort of like one blowing a bubble. There's really not much there. You just barely touch it, and it dissolves, it goes away. Where love builds. So one gives value, the other doesn't. And with this, I mean, both are essential. Knowledge and love are important parts. But love, even as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, are going to hear shortly as we go through our study. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Because love suffers long, it is kind. And love does not envy, and love does not parade itself, and it is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But those characteristics, one that really stands out in contrast, he says, knowledge is puffed up, but here, one of the characteristics of love is it is not puffed up. But he goes, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, and he knows nothing, he ends up knowing nothing. And so one who's merely gathered up a little bit of information and thinks that he knows it all. He really doesn't know it all. He knows enough to do harm to his brother. I like what one writer had to say about that. He said, if a man has not learned anything as to make it contribute to the happiness of others, it is proof that he has never learned the true design of the first principles of knowledge. Barnes wrote that. But now let us, as we, he then, you know, brings out in verse number 3, but if anyone loves God, then this one is known of God. This one who loves God will also love his brother. Remember what John would say in 1 John chapter 4? He says in verses 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves God, or who loves, is born of God and knows God. And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so he brings this. If anyone loves God, then he is known of him. 1 John 4, though, he goes on and he says in verses 20 and 21, if someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And if I'm going to love my brother in the way that I ought to, then I will be willing to sacrifice liberties for his sake, and do not put myself first. Paul would say in the book of Philippians that we don't look every man on his own things, but on the things of others. Esteem others and put others before yourself. And so he deals with this. There is the fact that we have these liberties, but there's dangers that are there, and some are not aware of them. Notice verses 4 through 7 now. 4 through 7, he goes on. Therefore, concerning the eating of the things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idols, until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Now, he says there are some who do not understand and have a understanding and awareness of the liberty that we have in Christ for this very thing. But he says here in verse number 4, therefore, concerning the things eaten, eating the things offered to idols. He's talking about eating and consuming these things that have been offered to this idol. When we think about this, an idol is nothing. All we have to do is read what Isaiah records for us. A lengthy read, but beneficial nonetheless. Notice what he says in Isaiah 44, beginning at verse number 9 and running through verse number 20. Those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious thing shall not profit. And they are their own witness. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who would form a god or mold an image that profits him nothing? Surely all his companions would be ashamed. And the workmen, they are mere men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. The blacksmith with the tongs works one in the coals, fashions it with the hammers, and works it with the strength of his arms. Even so, he is hungry, and his strength fails, and he drinks no water, and is faint. And the craftsman stretches out his rule, He marks one out with chalk. He fashions it with the plane. He marks it out with a compass. And he makes it like the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He cuts down cedars for himself, and he takes the cypress and the oak. He secures it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine, and the rain nourishes it. And then it shall be for a man to burn. For he will take some of it and warm himself. Yes, he kindles it and bakes bread. Indeed, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it a carved image and falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire, and with this half he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied, and even warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire." And with the rest he makes into a god, his carved image, and he falls down before it and he worships it, and he prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They do not know nor understand. For he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. And no one considers his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, "I have burned half of it in the fire, and yes, I have also baked it on the coals, and I have roasted meat and eaten it, and shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?" He feeds on the ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He cannot deliver his soul, nor say, "Is there not a lie in my right hand?" Isaiah, for us, gives us a clear picture and understanding of the foolishness of idolatry. And here we find it even in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. "For we know that an idol is nothing." It's absolutely nothing in the world. And so therefore, concerning the things, eating those things that are offered to an idol, why should they bother us? But notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 25, he says, "Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions, for conscience sake." He said, don't even ask about it. Why? Well, if you don't know what it is, you don't know that it was offered to an idol, how could it even bother a conscience, even if it were weak? He says, do that. And notice what he goes on to say in verses 27 to 29. If any of those who do not believe invite you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. Again, he says, don't ask. Don't say, "Hey, where'd you buy the steak?" Why? Because it may be the fact that a conscience may be in danger here. But notice what he says. "But if anyone says to you, 'This was offered to idols,' do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience?" He says, the fact is that eating this would really mean nothing. But if another's conscience is going to be in danger of this, don't eat it. And that's what we're dealing with. We are dealing with love who puts others before self. He goes on and he points this out in verse number 7. In verse 7, when he said, "However, there is not in everyone this knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol until now eat that thing as a thing offered to the idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. If they have violated their conscience," notice we could similar a parallel topic that goes on in Romans chapter 14 with this liberty as well. But in verse 14, chapter 14 and verse 23 of the book of Romans, he says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. If I cause this other one to eat, he says, he being weak is defiled or sins. And so there are some who are not aware of the liberties that we have. So what should be our right attitude in these liberties? Well, let's read 8, verses 8 through the end of the chapter. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you, who has knowledge, eating in the idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother to stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother to stumble. Here's the right attitude with the liberties. And so let's notice a few things here that he points out. And the fact is that he deals with this and lets us know that after revealing that an idol is nothing, he says food really doesn't do anything for us either. It doesn't commend us to God. We're not better if we eat. We're not worse if we don't eat. So it really doesn't matter. But beware lest this liberty becomes a stumbling block, he says in verse number 9. Again, we go to the 14th chapter of the book of Romans. Notice those first three verses. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Here we have the weak brother. The weak brother, who's the one who will not eat, he's only going to be a vegetable eater. This vegetarian, and says that it's wrong for you to eat this meat. He said, you know what? It's not. I'm not any better. I'm not any worse. But my liberty could cause another to stumble. I must beware of those things. I must guard against those things. Because love makes the sacrifice. Verse 10 then. If anyone sees you eating this, and eating in this temple, then will not this conscience of the other be emboldened to go against his conscience? Again, let's turn to Romans chapter 14, there beginning of verse 15. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken evil of. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things are indeed pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, and whatsoever is not from faith is sin. He says here we need to make sure that we are not causing this other to stumble. They see these things. And so the conclusion, Romans 15 and verse 1, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Not to please ourselves. And so we make this decision that we're going to sacrifice our liberty for the sake of the soul of another. Verse 11, he says, and because your knowledge shall the weak brother perish. It could cause another to be lost, to lose their salvation. I want you to think about this, especially those who would teach that those who are Christians cannot fall. Well, he says he's a weak brother. The weak brother shall perish in his sin. But, verse 12, he then tells us and reminds us, but when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. When I sin against the brethren, I sin against Christ. Remember what Jesus told Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What he did to those who were his, what if we were sinning against the brethren, or if we were persecuting the brethren, we're persecuting Christ. If we sin against the brethren, we're sinning against Christ. Remember in that judgment scene of Matthew chapter 25, all things being equal, the thing that's brought up there is how we treat other people. You saw me naked and clothed me. You saw me hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. But they asked, when did we do these things? Or when did we not do these things? As much as we do to one of these, his brethren, we do it to him. You sin against Christ. So now notice his conclusion in this, though. The 13th verse concludes it for us. He says, therefore, if this is the case, if food makes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again. You know, sometimes people go, well, I'll sacrifice my liberty for a while, but that brother's going to have to get strong enough to get over it. But that's not what Paul said. Paul said, I will not eat food again. Meat. You know, it could be the fact. Here we're talking about that which is offered to idols. It could be also the fact of a person's conscience sake. We see even in Romans 14 where it could have been the fact of a person who's been raised in a Jewish heritage all their life and they couldn't eat bacon. And it would be a problem for them. Whatever it is. He said, I'm not going to eat meat again. Why? Because the soul of my brother is more important than that. One principle here says, I will never eat meat again while the world stands. And one of the principles that my brother's never dying soul is worth more to me than my personal satisfaction, and so I must be willing to forego my personal pleasures for his salvation. This is the law of brotherly love, but this does not obligate me to give up things which are matters of faith, things which I must do to obey God. I like the way that was stated. And that's exactly right. We must be willing to do so. I have a little note in my Bible, and I do not know where it came from, but it says, let our motto be forbearance, not privilege. Your watchword be charity, not knowledge. And never flaunt your knowledge, and seldom use your privilege. So here we deal with the weak brother and the strong brother. Who's the strong brother? Well, strong brother is the one, it tells us, who has this knowledge. Knowledge is a good thing. The knowledge, because you've exercised your senses to be able to discern good from evil, right from wrong. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. But he is also the one with love. And that's what he deals with, verses 1 through 6. The strong brother has knowledge, but he has love that overflows. He's the one who edifies and supports. He's the one who sacrifices his liberties for the sake of the other, Romans 15, 1 through 3. He's the one who bears those infirmities and carries those loads, Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. And so here we have these liberties in Christ, but how do we use them? Beware that we do not destroy another with our privileges. Well, that's all of chapter 8 today. Hope that you continue to study through and that you'll continue to listen throughout the day. Have listening opportunities throughout today. At 11, you're going to have the opportunity for the Good News Today with Jim Dearman, followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. And then you have a closer look with Russ Earle today at 5. Don't forget those evening shows, All About Jesus with Richard Massey and the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible with Tom Moore and Frank Briscoe. But remember, tune in each weekday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network from Mount Vernon, Texas. Remember to check that schedule on a regular basis for updates on programming. Hopefully new shows are coming in on a regular basis. You'll be able to see those there. Till next time, we hope that you have a great and a blessed day.